Going good? Amen. Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning. Does that sound a little bit staged when I do that? That's good. So, well, thank you for attending Gateway Church this morning. And Dave, it's true, you know, there's a lot of new folks here, isn't there? And a lot of new. And I think we have to do one of those name tag Sundays again so that everyone will kind of get to know each other. And so, well, we're into the Christmas season. And we have wonderful events taking place this month. Really amazing when you look. How many of you got the newsletter I sent out? So you get a newsletter. You have Facebook. You have all sorts of things. Does anyone feel that they're not being communicated well with? You know, so like we hit you every way you can so that you could be part of the family of God here. You know, and it's just the way it is. And so, this month will be focused on Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus Christ. So thank you for being a fully engaged church family. And today's message is about hope and about peace. How many of you need hope and peace in your life? And my prayer is that each of you will have hope and peace through this season and beyond. And beyond. Hope and peace in knowing and walking with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. If you are familiar with the Christmas story, you are probably looking forward to this time of year. I am. I never get tired of it. It's like I read Luke throughout the year. But at Luke chapter 2 and the genealogies in Matthew's Gospel and in Luke's Gospel at this time of year, I get all excited. I'm going to be reading about the birth of Christ. And so if you're anything like me at this time of year, you're probably looking forward to it as well. If you're new to the faith, we have a wonderful journey ahead for you, and you're going to learn some pretty amazing things. The story took place 2,000 years ago, but it was in the making for centuries before that. God foretold how he would bring his beloved son Jesus into the world through the ancient prophets found in the Old Testament. So we have the Old Testament, we have the New Testament. In the Old Testament, God used the prophets to foretell of what we are celebrating this morning and throughout this month, the birth of Christ. And it's a story of wonder. How many of you like reading a book complete with mystery and suspense? How many of you here like reading a book of mystery and suspense? Well, the birth of Jesus Christ that took place, that was foretold by the prophets, is a divine masterpiece full of intrigue, suspense, and prophetic fulfillment. Amen? And it's a thing of what?
Beauty.
It's not called, it was not called Christmas back then, right? We all know that. However, the quiet events of that morning 2,000 years ago have become tradition in the Christian faith. Amen? Has become Christian. And I love it. I really, really love it. I love this time of year, probably throughout the month. I might get a little emotional at times because the thing is, I love it. It's the birth of Christ. And I remember in 1989, Linda and I began our journey with Jesus. And for the first time at 30 years old, I had a true understanding that Jesus was the reason for the season. Can you remember that time? When you remember the first time you had a real understanding that Jesus was the reason for the season. And like, just think about that for a second. Close your eyes and just say, thank you, Lord, that you opened my eyes so that I understand the real reason for the season, Jesus Christ. And are you able to remember that time, the first time, understanding? How many of you are able to remember that day? When you, maybe you were a child, but maybe as an adult, the first time you really had an understanding. Can anyone remember that time? When you, the first time when it was like, oh my goodness, Christmas is not just about presents. Christmas is not just about shopping. Christmas is not just about leaving a something under the Christmas tree for Santa Claus coming, but it's really about Jesus is the reason for the season and the birth of Christ. Linda and I, we continue our earlier traditions that we had before we knew him, like many people do at this time of year. However, now it's completely different. Our home is filled with hope. It's filled with peace. It's a very, very peaceful home. And Christmas worship fills our home and makes everything feel so peaceful and wonderful and hopeful. Yesterday, as soon as I get up, I put on Christmas songs. I was listening to a beautiful one by Matt Redman. It's a couple of years old, but he has a Christmas album out. I don't know if you have Spotify or Apple Music, but there's like hundreds of beautiful Christian worship music, and just to fill your home, fill your car, fill your very being. And we look forward to decorating. We look forward to all of those things. But Jesus is the reason for the season. Amen? And we look forward to decorating another special house, this house. And this week it made me so happy when some of the Gateway family came and showed up and decorated the church in preparation for all the special Christmas functions and banquets and concerts, like next Sunday with Sean and Amy, they'll be here. And of course, my favorite, Christmas Eve. I love Christmas Eve. I love our Christmas. Isn't our Christmas Eve service so beautiful? We make it so beautiful. It's so peaceful. I've had people come in here and they said, I was so anxious. I was so stressed out. And we just spent 1 hour here and it was just like, oh, the peace of God. So I look forward to that. And so let's get to our story. Well, I'll pick up a few scriptures as I go along, so I'm not going to read a length of scripture right now, but wise men and shepherds gathered around baby Jesus in a manger. And while a chorus of angels proclaimed the Lord's goodwill to mankind, can you just even envision this story? Have you ever sat there and just tried to envision this story? What hope forms in your heart when you think about the story of the birth of Christ? I don't know about you, but for me, it is something really, really special. The Christmas story really starts with a tree. Not that kind of a tree. Not a Christmas tree, but a family tree. And it's interesting to note that both Matthew and Luke start their Gospels with a genealogy. One of the genealogies is the genealogy of Mary, and the other genealogy is the genealogy of Joseph. And both were descendants of King David. And the fact that the Christmas story starts with the genealogy, it shows us that it's a real story that happened at a real time in a real place. Amen? And when you get that into your spirit and you say, yes, it did happen and it's real, those events happened and everything else, it becomes something so special to you because it's not just a story any longer, but it's something that is like incredible that this took place. And a genealogy shows that it was a real event and it really happened. In the fullness of time, as we know it, God sent the angel Gabriel to Zacharias, a humble Levite priest who ministered before God in the temple at Jerusalem. Quick rabbit trail. I once played the angel Gabriel, and it worked. We were at Northview Church in Peterborough, and they brought in all black lights. And I was dressed in this white robe, and the whole room was black, but the black lights on me showed, and I played the angel Gabriel in front of the whole thing. That was kind of fun. So anyways, back to this. And appearing in a vision, the angel foretold the birth of John the Baptist that would prepare the way for the Messiah. And in Luke chapter 1, verse 17, it says, "And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to wisdom of righteousness to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now this statement sounds like a little bit of teaching here, and it is, was an echoed prophecy that was echoed 460 years before this took place in Malachi 4 and 5, where it says, "See, I will send the prophet Elijah to you before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes." And also in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3, it says, "A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for God." And when you connect the dots, when you connect the story from the Old Testament, and it's connected into the Old Testament, and you realize that this was God's plan all along, and it was God's plan for you to be here today. It was God's plan for you to have your eyes open so that you could celebrate the glory of God, that not one of you is a mistake, but you are here because of divine intervention. You are here because it was prophetic. You are here because He loves you. You are here. And this is amazing. This is amazing when I look at someone and I say, wow, you also have the blinders that have taken off your eyes, and you see the glory of God for who the glory of God is. It's not a Christmas tradition just about putting up trees and hanging wall sconces and everything like this. It becomes something so deep. It becomes something so rich. It becomes your everything. It becomes your lifestyle. It becomes holy. It becomes awesome. Amen. And it's just like, oh my goodness, when I remember when Linda gave her heart to the Lord, you know what the first thing she said? After she said, "No, I'm not born again," but she says, "How come nobody ever told me this? How come no one," remember that? "How come no one ever told me this?" And we went through our first Christmas with our eyes open to the glory of God. It was incredible. And it continues to be incredible. There's a wow factor in it when we come together and on Christmas Eve, I just sense the presence of God is right in the house with us, you know? So for many centuries, the promise of the Messiah, it had remained, but it seemed delayed. It was quiet. There was nothing happening. And now what was happening in this story, the promise of hope and the promise of peace was being renewed. And there was a buzz. There was something happening in the air. The prophetic voices and ears and hearts, they understood something. There was a new sense of anticipation that was in the air. And the Messiah was coming at last, and the world would be changed forever, just like my world was changed forever when I invited Him into my life, as your life is as well. Amen. And in the sixth month, the angel was sent again, this time to a virgin named Mary, who was espoused to Joseph of the house of David. And in greeting her, he spoke of the favor that she had found with God. And in Luke 1 and 28, it says, "The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you are highly favored. You are highly favored. The Lord is with you.'" You know what? Mary was pretty special there, Pauline. But you know what? I can say to you that you're highly favored as well. I could say to you, Kevin, you're highly favored as well. Okay? Because we know Him. He will be great, and He will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give Him the throne of His father David, and He will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. I love this. Listen. "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon His shoulders, and He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of His government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over His kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." Mary was confused by this proclamation. I was with a guy this week who can't get past this. He just couldn't, he can't understand. I said, what God do you pray to? And I said, is it this God that I pray to? He cannot comprehend. He can't get past this. So the fact is that if your eyes have been opened, that you could get past it and you could receive it, that something supernatural has happened in your life, something divine has happened in your life. It's not that those people are less than us as Christians. They just haven't heard yet. Their eyes haven't been opened yet. We walk in the favor of the Lord because our eyes have been opened. So when we look at this, so Mary was going to be impregnated by Holy Spirit, and she was going to give birth to the baby Jesus. Can you understand? She was confused by this proclamation. Talk about faith. If someone came to you and gave you a prophecy like this, and all of a sudden you say, okay, I'm going to receive this and I'm going to walk in faith. Think of the ramification. Just that her eyes were open, that she would walk in this type of faith. How could the angel be speaking of her giving birth when she was still a virgin? How can this be? So the angel foretold the virgin birth to her. Said, the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy Spirit, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. So the angel, in essence, was telling Mary, you are the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. You are the fulfillment of those verses that we just read. You, Mary, are the fulfillment of all the prophecies of thousands of years of prophets talking about the coming of the birth of Christ. Imagine being told that you are the one to fulfill the words of Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Ladies, Janine, you're the one that they come. Could you imagine? Can you imagine? I can't even fathom this. Behold, the virgin shall receive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. For 3 months, Mary stayed with her cousin Elizabeth, to whom John the Baptist would be born. And when she returned to Joseph in Nazareth, her pregnancy was starting to show. And Joseph, not understanding what was taking place, naturally suspected the worst. And he considered ending the engagement. The espousement to her. But while these things were taking place, an angel of the Lord also appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit, Matthew 1 and 20. Wow. Again, man of faith, man of walking in faith, to hear God, to walk in this, it's unreal. And when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary as his wife, but they did not consummate their marriage until after the baby Jesus was born. And this Jesus would save his people from their sins. This baby Jesus would save people from their sins. Okay, I'm going to tell you something I've told you a lot. It was at this time of year when my father took an airplane from Montreal. He was full of cancer, to visit my brother in Pickering. And we went there to would have been our last Christmas with him. And when I drove him back to the airport, it was before Christmas, where he was going back to Montreal. And when I drove him to the airport, I led him to the Lord in the car. Okay, I led him to the Lord in the car. And he believed in that moment as Mary believed. And he believed in that moment as Joseph believed. And when you gave your heart to the Lord, it's no different. You believed as they believed. And that is amazing. So you're a fulfillment of prophecy here this morning as well. So the angel was effectively saying, Joseph, listen, not only is the promised, is your promised wife carrying the Son of God, but she is carrying the Messiah of Israel. She is fulfilling prophecy before you. And when their hearts and eyes were open, can you imagine the hope that came over them in that moment? but also the peace. What is peace? What do we mean by peace when we say hope and peace and all of these things at this time here? The biblical notion of peace is not niceness or absence of conflict or just having a quiet home for a minute or dropping off your kids with Kevin and Nikki so that you can, as moms and dads, you can go do some shopping and wrap and without the kids all running around. You know, that's not biblical peace. It's nice, okay? But it's a right relationship between God or between people that flows from a right relationship with God. Did you hear what I said? It's a right relationship that we have with each other because we have a right relationship with God. That's what peace is. And so isn't that a thing of beauty, Randy? We have a relationship of peace because both of us as men of God, we have a relationship with God. And in turn, we have a relationship with each other. And that is peace. That is peace. That is what peace is. And at this time of year, the Advent season, we emphasize hope and peace and joy and love that God sent with Christ. It all comes with Christ. Everything is about Jesus. Everything centers around Jesus. It's only about Jesus. Jesus is the reason for the season. Amen? And because Christ came that first time, we can live with hope and peace and joy and love until He comes again. I never get tired of telling this story. I never get tired of telling. Sometimes, you know, pastors at this time of year, they have a hard time because they think, oh man, I've been pastoring for 20 years. I tell the same story all the time. I don't get tired of telling this story. Do you get tired of hearing it? Do you get tired of reading it? How can we get tired? Like, this is Jesus Christ. This is Jesus Christ. He has allowed me to, just like my father, dozens, maybe hundreds of people, to see those blinders come off their eyes. And to believe as Joseph believed, or believe as Mary believed. And when I lead someone to the Lord, and they're crying, and I'm crying, and it's like, oh, what a miracle behind us. We look for signs and wonders. We want this. We want the sensation. When someone gives their heart to the Lord, amen, it's the most incredible miracle that you could ever, ever see, experience. The person receiving it, experiencing it, it's a thing of beauty. And if you're a believer and a follower of Christ this morning, you know that peace begins with God. Amen? Amen. It believes. And Christmas is a joyous time of hope that comes from the birth of peace, the hope that we have. So you know what? How many of you, there's been times at Christmas where you didn't even have enough money to buy a turkey? Can anyone relate to that? Okay. You didn't have enough money to get presents, or you didn't know where it was going to come from to provide for your family or whatever, and you get all stressed out. I remember my mother getting all stressed out, trying to make sure that she had enough in the bank to put the meal on for the whole family that she did every year. And she would get so stressed out about this, and then our home would become stressful, and it was just like, our home is never stressful like this now. And I'm thankful for God for that, because what happens is Jesus Christ is the center of our home. He's the center of our life. And it doesn't mean that circumstances don't happen, but it's how we deal with it. Amen? Put some worship music on in your home this year. Okay? Fill your home with praise and fill your home with worship. Gather around if you have family and kids and stuff like this, and in a little circle, and hold each other's hands, even if it's only for 2 minutes, and listen to a song. And like those soldiers that I met, I said to them, I said, I only have one thing to say to you. And they said, uh-oh. And I said, thank you for serving. And big smile came on their face. Okay, turn to someone if you mean it and say to the person beside you, say, I'm proud of you. Okay, don't say I love you, but turn to the person beside you and say, I'm proud of you. Okay, so there was a difference. When those soldiers experienced those words, I'm proud of you, thank you for serving, it was a lot different than if I went to these four soldiers and said, I love you. I don't think they would have received it. So it was different. But I'm proud of you. Okay, I'm proud of you. Speak those words into people's lives, because Christ came to bring peace. Okay? He came to bring peace. In spite of whether you can afford to buy a turkey or you can't, he came to bring peace. And his mission was to establish the shalom of God. You know what? We're not doing... Where's Luke? Is he teaching? You know what? We're not putting those little gifts out. We're not putting those little gifts... Oh, did he have to wake you up?
No.
Okay. I have to stay on track, but can I tell another one story? We used to have this guy, his name was Rolly, and he's in Mattawa, so some of you might know him. And he used to fall asleep like you do, you know? That's okay. And so one time what I did was, it was like a long, you remember this, eh? Because it was like most of you weren't in this church at that time. So I stepped down with the mic, and I said to everyone, shh. And I started to walk towards him because he was snoring, and I went to pick it up on the mic. The mistake I made was everyone going, shh. So it was too quiet, so he woke up. So I was just about to pick him up on the mic, and then, but that was in the days when I would throw chocolate bars and everything, but I've grown up since then, okay? I'm much more mature. I really resemble those remarks. But Christmas is a joy of celebration that hopes that it comes from the peace, from the birth of peace. Amen. And Christ brings that. And this shalom is centered in a right relationship with God. So my prayer for each of you through this season is that you will have a right relationship with God so that you could experience the shalom of God within your heart in spite of life. Okay? Because that right relationship, there's nothing like it. It touches everything in life. It touches your life. It touches your family. It touches your family that you will possibly have in the future. It touches your neighborhood. It touches your community. It touches everybody. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. If you were at a hockey game and you were walking by one of our dignitaries and you're walking in the confidence of the shalom of God, there's people that are going, they may not stop you and say, hey, I recognize the shalom of God in you, but they will see something different in you. And you will find that people are staring at you. And you'll think, like, something wrong with me? But when you walk in the shalom of God, there's something different about you. Amen? Amen. There really is. You radiate His presence. And that is a thing of... So as we prepare and celebrate the birth of Christ, may we have hope and enjoy the peace we have with God through Jesus Christ. Amen? So we're going to have communion this morning. Pastor Linda is going to come. But I have a question for you. What parts of your life would work better if you were to think about it right now? That if you were to experience God's peace, as it was explained this morning, what areas of your life would look different this morning if you were to experience and walk in the peace of God, the shalom of God this morning? Amen? Think about that for a second as Pastor Linda comes. Thank you.